Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. The Jersey Wrecking Crew are back, man. We're going to talk G1. Trendsetter Brian Berger joins me. I am Jeff Martin. What a weekend it was. Record-setting, mind-boggling matches, and just an unbelievable G1. Plus, we're going to preview Great Balls of Fire. That's it, man. You only got a couple, maybe two more episodes
for
me saying Great Balls of Fire. But everyone, I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. Trendsetter, I know you're feeling better. I know that I'm finally getting this bug out of my system, too. Had some barbecue a little bit. We didn't stuff our faces that much, but we're healing. We're doing the best we can to bring you another quality show, and I think this one is going to be better than any single one that we've ever had.
Wow, you're raising the bar pretty high on
this. I'm raising the bar. You know why? Because the G1, New Japan Pro Wrestling, raised the bar this past weekend.
Definitely
and
did.
A tremendous job, and we're going to get right to that, man, because Kenny Omega, by far, is such an amazing talent, and we have a new face of America, and that is the Kalina, Kenny Omega. And as you hear in the background and you hear his music, oh, that's right, that's right. Ha, 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 ha. And come on, you're not, you don't have a sense of humor that you can't laugh
I'm
about.
I'm just
that.
Embracing the song. It's a great song. I think it encompasses Kenny Omega, the Cleaner's character, so well. Like, I couldn't see him, or let alone hear his entrance, be anything else but that. So if there's any aspirations that he comes to the WWE or NXT or whatever, I don't know if I could really hear him come up with another song.
Now, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, like, perfect example. It just encompasses him so well. So well that, you know, it's funny how we have a new face of America and he's Canadian. And it's Kenny Omega, and I'm pretty sure now by saying that I've gotten blocked by Kevin Owens on Twitter because, you know, that's an insult to him. He's the face of America. But, you know, I think the debate is there to say right now, at least at this moment in this time that we're doing this show and talking about it, that Kenny Omega is, to me, quite frankly, one of the greatest professional wrestlers that I've seen in a very, very long time. He has the ability of being the face of a company. And, you know, even Stone Cold Steve Austin on his podcast, if you guys ever listened to that, I don't know. He has a podcast, I guess. But no, he talks about and gives Kenny Omega a tremendous amount of credit.
So you heard Jim that. Ross. You heard that podcast.
Yes. Very and, good. You know, and it's well-deserved because Kenny Omega not only has the athletic standpoint, but what a lot of guys, I feel, and who am I an expert to say this, but I feel the feeling is mutual among all us wrestling fans, that a lot of people can have the look, but they don't have the mind. And Kenny Omega's mind for this business, this mind for professional wrestling, surpasses anybody. Nobody's even close to his ability to look at something and make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken shit, basically.
Right now, the whole weekend, this whole week, Kenny Omega's been praised. And as well, he should be, because it's been his week. Now, our boy Cody Rhodes fell short, but let's give him credit, though. He had an amazing matchup with Okada. A lot of people were wondering whether Cody Rhodes deserved this matchup with Okada.
Yes, he
and
did.
Of course, we were wondering, you know, well, Okada's now coming overseas. Is there an opportunity? You know, that he comes to California, he actually loses the IWGP Heavyweight Championship to Cody Rhodes. When you think about it and you look at it, maybe it was too soon for Cody Rhodes. But, you know, he left it all out there. He did an amazing match. The crowd was crazy for it. Okada just shows you how good, you know, he is. And, you know, it's kind of like very special because you don't get to see him that much, okay, at least here in the States. You know, you got to go on YouTube and you got to, you know, watch Okada's matches. But to be able to see him, you know, on TV and actually have the match.
Both nights.
You know, both nights. They've got a lot of talent there in New Japan. So while Cody Rhodes came up short, it was Kenny Omega's, I guess, basically weekend because he had an amazing match with Michael Elgin. Amazing. You guys got to watch that. Then he beat, you know, Jay Lethal. And then the man had another amazing match against Ishii. And it was crazy sick. And, you know, I don't want to mark out. because I don't want to do that.
No, go ahead, Jeff. Mark out.
It was freaking awesome. And every match that Kenny Omega does has shown me that he can match any style. And he is just right now on a different category. Now, a few months ago, the past year has been AJ Styles' world. And we've all reveled at AJ Styles and the fact that he is right now maybe the best in the world. But a guy who can make a claim for that right now has got to be Kenny Omega. And if you take a look at the best wrestlers right now in the world, you know, maybe two or three of them are not in the WWE. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be two of them are right now, Kenny Omega and Okada. And those two guys are just, you know, spectacular. And New Japan has a bright future. And if what we saw this weekend in California is any sign of it, they've already announced that they're going to come back in 2018, which we're going to be there. I don't care where they are, we're going to be there. And that they might open offices in L.A. and Dojo. So right now the plan is to at least take the West Coast. And if they do that and they, you know, they know exactly where they want to market, the future is bright for New Japan. Just your thoughts on the whole weekend, because we can have the whole show dedicated to New Japan. We're probably going to do it in the next few weeks.
We basically could just talk about the G1 special and the success I think it had. I think it was going to be successful regardless of the fact of how it really came out in terms of when all the numbers come in and in terms of how many people watched it, how many people streamed it legally, and how many people actually attended the event and all the press conferences and all the media that was around it. So ultimately, I think it will be a success. That's why they are coming back, like you said, they announced. I think it's a smart move by New Japan to try to dominate or take over the West Coast. We know the East Coast is WWE country, although WWE is now global. There's no such thing as territories. I like the fact that they're taking their attention on one side of the United States, because again, you got to start somewhere. If they were immediately going to start on the East Coast, you know, try to compete against WWE, I think they're smart enough knowing they're not going to get on that level just yet. But like I've said before, you know, watching New Japan, and I'm sure the casual fan hasn't seen it now, thankfully, to these G1 specials and obviously social media being the way it is, that you can YouTube all these matches, you can know who Okada is, you know who Kenny Omega is, you know who Ishii is, you know who all these very talented Japanese performers are that work for New Japan. I think the future is very bright, Jeff. It just, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be that quick. It's going to be a slow process.
It needs to be a slow process.
But you like to think with a guy as talented as Kenny Omega, you want it to skyrocket all the way
talents. When you have a market like Seattle, when you have a market like California, when you have those kind of markets in Oregon where it could, you know, it is heavy populated by the Asian community, you have a great start right there.
And the turnout was amazing for the fact that they sold out within 2 minutes.
How many people flew in? So, I mean, even if you don't want to grab the East Coast, you have people going to fly from the East Coast.
Our good buddy, Brian Fritz, flew all the way over to Los Angeles from Florida.
Amazing pictures, too. Go check out Between the Ropes website.
And we'll have him on, too, to discuss the experience there. And, you know, that just speaks volumes of the wrestling community, which, you know, a lot of people like to talk about it being sports entertainment. Wrestling, I think, has a lifeblood, and that is New Japan Wrestling. And with their combination of their partnership with Ring of Honor, they have a lot of talent.
And the best part about it, too, is like when you opened up the show, it started out with the Bullet Club. And they are very integral into what New Japan does, because they are, without a doubt, if not the coolest faction right now in all of professional wrestling, they are right up there. So you got to see them. You got to see Marty Scurll. You got to see the Young Bucks, Hangman Page. You got to see, you know, the Gorillas of Destiny. So, you know, you got to see Bullet Club in all of their glory. Dissension, maybe, possibly, as we saw in the main event between Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega. Now, we saw
Cody Rhodes and Okada and Kenny Omega involved.
Well, exactly. There was tension afterwards and during the match as, I guess what I like is the storyline continues. Of course, Cody Rhodes wanted to throw in the towel at Dominion in the match between Omega and Okada, which ended up being a draw. And then Kenny Omega kind of wanted to return the favor and wanted, you know, Brandi Rhodes to throw in the towel.
It was so funny. He was going to Brandi Rhodes like, that's your husband. He's dying in there. You've got to. And it's just like, again, just well thought out by Kenny, well thought out by all the people involved, Brandi and Cody. Like I said, it's a one-upsmanship here in the Bullet Club. And like I said, there might be some dissension in the ranks.
So day one, we saw dissension. We saw the little kind of conflict in the back. And they were, Young Bucks were trying to separate them, and they were trying to, you know, keep it private. But we saw there is dissension in the ranks, at least in day one between Bullet Club. But then,
talking about rank, Brandi Rhodes, man, woo,
on fire.
Amazing. I love the little that spot they did when
God bless America.
And, exactly. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, smoking a cigar, and Brandi Rhodes with a Bullet Club gun lighting that cigar.
It's just well thought out. And then on day two, and then let's say Cody Rhodes had a great match. Had a great match.
He did.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
To answer your question, though, Jeff, sorry to interrupt you, though, you said, you know, was he deserving of it? I think he proved his point that he's more than deserving.
Oh, yeah, he's had a tremendous year. A tremendous year. Hey, if you main event a G1 special here against Okada, and not only that, but you still walk away with the Ring of Honor title, you still had a tremendous year. So don't take nothing away from Cody Rhodes. He came up short, but hey, you know what? The chances of him actually beating Okada in a special like this, where the title has only changed maybe four times in 6 years, hey, you know, hats off to Cody Rhodes. Tremendous.
And also so, that the heavyweight title doesn't get defended that often a normal title does.
So we go to day two, and day two was Kenny Omega's night because Kenny Omega became the first U.S. heavyweight champion for New Japan. And I told you, he went from Elgin to Lethal to Ishii, and each match was tremendous. Now, my question to you is, miss a celebration, Cody Rhodes pulls the title, and then he hands it to Omega. And then the only thing is afterwards, the press conference, Cody Rhodes is nowhere to be found. So is there dissension? And I think they're telling a great story. Is there going to be dissension between the Bullet Club? Is it starting to be? Can those two egos coexist? We know Adam Cole couldn't coexist with Kenny Omega. Can Cody Rhodes coexist with Kenny Omega? That's going to be interesting.
Well, I think really Adam Cole was a detriment to himself when it came to the
Bullet
Club.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Adam Cole, because he felt he should have been the leader when he first got in. Now, Cody, being a smart
man. So you're saying Adam Cole has the feeling
Adam Cole
that he needs
to
take over things?
He thought he needed to take over stuff. And, you know, who knows if he can take over again after coming off this, you know, very mournful period that we have, Adam Cole, like you said, rest in peace. But, you know, Cody Rhodes is a different type of animal because
I hope you guys got that, by the way.
I hope so. If not, then we did it for nothing. But with Cody Rhodes, I think this dissension brings more intrigue because they're not immediately throwing off the bat they don't like each other. They slowly built this up. Now, again, he grabbed the title at the end when Kenny Omega had won the IWGP U.S. title, put it around his waist. They hugged it out, but then, like you said, the press conference, he's nowhere to be found. Maybe it's still sour grapes, maybe bitterness for the fact that he didn't accomplish what he wanted to, was to win the IWGP heavyweight title. Maybe he's salted on that. But again, this creates a great dynamic because we said it before. If Cody Rhodes had defeated Okada and became the champion, what does that say now to Kenny Omega that he couldn't get the job done and Cody could? So I think this is all ultimately leading up. We're going to eventually see it, Okada and Omega 3. Can't wait to see that one. I think it's still too soon for that. But it's going to bring into a dynamic that if Omega can do it, what does that leave the Elite and the Bullet Club together? Are they going to separate? Are they going to stay united? So just, it's great that we're even talking about it because that just shows you how smart right now New Japan Wrestling is. Maybe it's the wrestlers. We give credit to them of how great they are incorporating these storylines, which we have a chance to talk about. Plus, not to mention the fact that the great, great YouTube series, if you guys haven't caught it, I don't know what you're waiting for, The Elite.
Being the Elite.
It's an amazing series.
It's funny, man. It just...
Forget the G1 special, Jeff. We finally saw the DM.
Oh, my God. You saw the DM, didn't you? Oh, my God. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. It's just, you know, me and you talk about how can we, you know, make our show a little bit better? How can we be different?
Tell you what, I'm not doing a DM.
No. Definitely not doing a DM. I don't think I have it in me to do a DM. But, again, though, just something like that. They're able to get 100,000 subscribers for that. And it was just funny. It's funny, it's witty, it's smart. And listen, right now I can make an honest case for you that the Bullet Club does not need WWE. Kenny Omega does not need WWE. The Young Bucks do not need WWE. Look what they're doing with Hot Topic, dude. I went to get the Young Bucks t-shirt and the Kenny Omega. Thank goodness we had it. We were able to find them. You know, we don't have to go on the websites anymore. But then the American Dream, what did you do when you called? Extra small. That's all
American
I have.
Nightmare.
American Nightmare. Extra small. Right, and then Marty Scurll's his wear is going to come out in a few weeks,
and that's going to
sell
off the shelf too. Yeah, exactly. They are running out of merch faster than they can restock it. And that's a great sign. And that's, again, shows you not only, because Hot Topic covers a certain amount of the United States. They're not everywhere. But it just kind of shows.
Oh, they're all over the states now.
Yeah, they're all over the states. But again, they're not pertaining to one area. So yeah, they're all over the states. But it just shows you, and it shows, you know, people who supposedly say that nobody really follows New Japan. The casual fans or the die hardcores are buying these things out of stock. It's really showing that it does have an imprint here in the States.
A lot of people are talking about whether the casual fan's going to care. Yeah, the casual fan's going to look at those shirts and be cool. Now, what happened was, here's a story. Hot Topic was looking around. They were in Orlando, and they saw Bullet Club t-shirts, and they went to WWE and was like, listen, we like to carry Bullet Club stuff. Representatives of WWE told them, Bullet Club's not associated with us. And they went to New Japan. They went to, you know, to the guys at Bullet Club, and they were like, let's do a deal here. And before you know it, this thing is catching on. So whoever wrote the demise of the Bullet Club, I think spoke too soon. Because right now, I think they're on a upward turn, and I think right now they do not need the WWE. And how great is it to say in 2017 that you can make a living, you know, on the independents and make a comfortable living? And now, if these guys can sell shirts, do you know what that's going to do for other wrestlers that come to WWE? And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, my royalty is only like 5 cents off the shirt. Look how much I can make, you know, if I sell it through Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah.
It's game changer. Definitely game changer. And Kenny Omega, and kudos to Kenny Omega, everyone in New Japan, everyone in the Bullet Club, everybody who in the Young Bucks, everybody who is, I guess, hustling, because that's what they're doing, and hustling pays off.
Hustling pays off, and it also defeats the fact or the... It breaks the stigma, Jeff, that the WWE is the only game in town. Yes, they are the largest company, their nation, they're global wide. But just if you're a talent coming up in this business, you also know, too, that just because you don't make in the WWE or you're not there doesn't mean you can't be successful. And like I said, to me, I'm just excited for it more, Jeff, because I love to see other promotions succeed, them gain momentum. I think the business was a lot more better, Jeff, when we had competition, when we had other avenues to look at, other options to look for. I mean, like I said, it's a great time to be a fan now, but ultimately when you have New Japan, Ring of Honor, and all these independent promotions are going to, like, for example, Wrestle Pro, which we visit time and time when they do events here in Jersey in the New York metropolitan area. It's great to see other options. It's great to see other talent out there. It's not all coming from the Performance Center. It's not all coming from the WWE.
And again, that is great to hear. So if we're going to put a ribbon on this G1 special in the U.S., what did you take out of it? What, in a few words, in a few sentences, can you take from this past weekend in Long Beach, California?
New Japan came, they saw, and they conquered. That's what I take from this whole G1 special. And I'm just so excited because it feels like New Japan's been here for a while, and so has Ring of Honor. You know, and they mentioned Ring of Honor as well. I like to see them get the national exposure they so rightfully deserve, because when it comes to companies like these, which, you know, don't spend a lot of money in terms of broadcasting their content out nationwide around the states, it's good to see they're getting this attention and they're getting this following. So I see it being very successful. If you're New Japan, if you're the roster, if you're just anybody on the independent circuit looking at this right now, it is a hurrah. It is a New Year celebration, because you know what? There is life after WWE.
And so looking forward to 2018 when it comes back. So listen, you guys went out there, you supported it, and you guys showed that New Japan has a following here in the States, and we'll see how far they can go in 2018. But definitely a great sign that this past weekend, New Japan was the talk of the wrestling world. So now we get to WWE and Great Balls of Fire, Brian. We're previewing it for you.
Go from the G1 special to Great Balls
of Fire. Well, Brian, listen. You know, you could say that, but what another match that we're all looking forward to, and even though it's WWE, and it's funny, right? We watched WWE, and then now and after watching the G1, and we're like, oh, man, like, do I need to be fully entertained? Or
well,
do
here's
I
the thing. We get upset. We almost got upset because we had a chance to, we possibly didn't get a chance to see this whole thing. We saw the G1 special. We were going to be really bummed out we didn't get a chance to see it. We don't get that way when we unfortunately miss a WWE event because, hey, we got the network and watch it back on replay, or we just, you know, we'll get the cliff notes on it type of thing. Definitely an interesting dynamic that's going on right now in the world of professional wrestling. The G1 in New Japan is actually getting more of the talk than Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here? Balls? No, but
balls
honestly,
that are on
though,
fire.
But honestly, though, Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar has
itching.
Has an opportunity, has a chance to be one of the best matches WWE has all year. I mean, the setup and the
and rightfully so
build has been amazing, and I am looking forward to this Sunday sitting down in the AC with a cup of lemonade, maybe some chips,
in
watching.
City?
Atlantic City.
You said in the AC, like Atlantic
City. Oh, maybe.
No, with the AC on, exactly.
No, with the AC. This is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. And, you know, speculation, let the speculation begin. Everyone wants to speculate, oh, what's going to happen in SummerSlam. We're just going to take it for what it's worth. This Sunday, Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, what is going to happen? And listen, I'm going to follow suit. I'm going to believe that they're building for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And I think I just contradicted myself because I'm not worrying about SummerSlam, but I kind of am here in this prediction. And I'm going to say that Brock Lesnar walks away the champion, but in a matter where it doesn't hurt Joe. So I can see a disqualification. I can even see maybe Braun Strowman interfering somehow in a way which sets up maybe, you know, something. Maybe a Brock and some, maybe a Braun and Samoa Joe. You don't know, but I do see Brock Lesnar walking away as Universal Champion in a very good match that we're going to be talking about and praising next week when we're back here on the High Spot Podcast.
Well, it depends how you define good match, Jeff. I wouldn't say this is going to be a five-star match. We're going to see this in the annals of time as one of the greatest matches we'll ever see. I think in terms of physicality, it will be one of the most physical matches we've seen to date this year going into the summer. But yeah, I mean, rightfully so should this match be very anticipated, because very rarely do we see dream matches, and this, for the longest time that we've seen Samoa Joe, we've followed his career from Ring of Honor to TNA to Impact, whatever you want to call it now, which will not be called Global Force as they're making the change now of the merger between Global Force and Impact Wrestling. We've just seen him in his career to go up against the guy of the caliber and the notoriety of a guy like Brock Lesnar. It's just fitting, and I'm more excited not necessarily to see Brock Lesnar Samoa Joe. I'm just more excited for Samoa Joe getting this opportunity that's been well-deserved. He's worked his ass off to get here. And it's also very rewarding to see that WWE didn't, you know, try and reinvent the wheel. Samoa Joe is a monster. He is an intimidating force. And to go one-on-one with somebody who is just as intimidating, just as devastating, and Brock Lesnar, the match sells itself. I mean, the storyline, the way they built it up, yes, I give credit where credit is due. We rarely say this on occasion, that WWE has done a great job of promoting this, have done a great job story-wise telling this. But the very end, and Raw, when Samoa Joe is going crazy, I kind of was against it, and I kind of didn't like it. But again, I see the point, because Samoa Joe is just so frustrated. He wants what he feels he deserves, which is the Universal title.
He's not a joke.
Respect.
And he wants to beat it out of Brock Lesnar, so we'll see if that happens. But your thoughts, though?
But there's something about the cool, the very chill demeanor of Brock Lesnar that scares me too. If this guy is this calm and collective, you better be careful.
Yeah. So, but your prediction, though, what happens? Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar.
I think Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar will be a match that'll go all around the arena. The ring will be destroyed. These two will never be the same again. As I'm doing my best Paul Heyman impression, and I will see Brock Lesnar walking out of great balls of fire, still the reigning, defending Universal Champion. And I don't see this being a one-off. I do see this going again. But again, to your question where you're saying they're setting this up to SummerSlam with Roman Reigns, I don't quite see it that way. I see it, they're setting up for Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman.
Oh, okay, interesting. We will find out. And that leads to also, we're talking about Braun and Roman, to the ambulance match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. I got to tell you, besides Samoa Joe, another guy is getting booked amazingly, and we were talking about this last few weeks, so amazingly that people are cheering for this guy so much. Maybe it's the fact that he is beating up on Roman Reigns, and people cheer whoever beats up Roman.
Don't believe that.
But Braun Strowman, and you got to check out these pics of him at the Metallica concert yesterday. It was hilarious.
I'd like to bump into him at a Metallica concert.
First of all, the guy's an awesome guy. He seems like a chill guy. He was with Bray, so that had to be a very interesting night if you're at Camping World Stadium to see the Metallica concert. But I digress. Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. Again, if you think you know the answers, and you think that you think it's going to be Brock versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, A, I thank God that it's not at WrestleMania, but B, then that means Roman Reigns has to come out on top, and I think that Roman Reigns beats Braun Strowman at Great Balls of Fire.
But the thing about this, it's interesting, Jeff, it's not a number one contenders match. So Roman Reigns could
theoretically... Well, you would think that the winner after this would be the number one. Roman Reigns said he will challenge
the winner. It was never the fact that he put up a number one contendership, or Kurt Angle actually became a general manager and actually said, no, I run the matches, not you, big dog. But yeah, I think regardless of it, I don't think Roman Reigns has to win this match in order to still challenge the winner at SummerSlam.
That is a good thought. That is something that I don't think I've heard a lot mentioned. And I think that's a good point, because I think people are forgetting that he already automatically has the title match at SummerSlam. So that's a good point. So Braun Strowman could win. Yeah. You make a great point on that.
In Roman Reigns' mind, he's already the number one contender, and this match has little of any consequence against it. It's really basically just finishing a rivalry that they've had that was kind of derailed due to Braun Strowman injuring his elbow. I really forsake, you know, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns have had great matches together. They seem to have that type of chemistry that you can't really define. You just, as soon as they lock up.
It's just organic. It just happened. You know, it just happened.
They just have, and it's there. I'm a little disappointed, though, because these type of gimmick matches, I'm not huge fans of, because I think it takes away from the ultimate rivalry, which was these two forces just literally beating on each other. But I get it. I see Braun Strowman really walking away from this. I thought of this before, and then I was completely surprised when Roman Reigns wore a different pair of shoes and defeated Braun Strowman cleanly. But I don't really see Roman Reigns, especially with the momentum he's had and the go-home Raw, where he attacked Braun Strowman coming out of the ambulance and Braun Strowman going through a table off the stage and then getting up. So, you know, if they're not selling for Roman Reigns right now that Roman Reigns has a shot at this, who's to say he's going to be able to defeat Braun Strowman? And I think right now, for the way Braun Strowman is and the momentum he's having right now, I think it's only fair, it only makes sense for him to continue by defeating Roman Reigns. And then it creates an interesting dynamic because Roman Reigns wants to face the champion. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, which will, again, be just as good because as much as people want to say, oh, he's only getting cheered because of the Roman Reigns factor, I completely disagree with that. The guy's been working his tail off. He's proven now, from the days I called him Braun Greenman to now, that he definitely deserves it. He's done great on the microphone. He does more athletic things in the ring than I could ever think a guy his size could do. So to me, it's well deserved for a guy like Braun Strowman to be in that main event title picture because, again,
well,
if you don't...
This is a guy who called him Braun Greenman before.
I called him Braun Greenman. Hey, and
we have it on... We have recorded on tape.
Not just on tape. I have articles written on it, too. So if Brian never saw this, he'll kill me. But again, you know, I defend myself with the fact that he was green. And I'm sure Braun would be the first to admit he didn't know what he was doing.
But he's a quick learner.
And he's put the time in. And that I appreciate because that's what gets the fans behind you. When you put the time in and things like that become organic, that's why fans cheer. Not because you're in there with Roman Reigns. Not because you're in there with John Cena. It's because you've proven you can take yourself and you can handle yourself very well.
Plus, I mean, you... could see Brock and Braun because you could revisit a Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns story because they left the kind of a rivalry there between, you know, who's, you know, he's not Samoan enough, you know, and
yeah, it was open-ended.
Open-ended, so that you could see that matchup at SummerSlam too.
It's
if you want to go Brock and Braun. So if you want to save Roman and Brock for WrestleMania, you could definitely go that angle at SummerSlam. So it'll be interesting. But you got Braun Strowman coming on top.
Got Braun Strowman coming on top.
I lost you somewhere in the middle over there. So just
no, I said it clear. You just, you know, we're just lost in my well-explained explanation of what was going
to
happen.
Before we get to the rest of the card, though, how is Finn Balor on this freaking card?
I have no idea, man.
That is the ultimate crime. Because we're talking about guys like Kenny Omega. We're talking about guys like AJ Styles and Okada. And Finn Balor, you could make a point that he should be on that echelon of that style of wrestler right now.
No question, he should be the face of Raw.
And he has just not clicked, whether it's injury, whether it's he just got lost in the shuffle. But the thing is, how do you lose freaking Finn Balor in the shuffle?
Well, the thing is, Jeff, there is no explanation behind it. The only thing comes that could logically come to my mind is that we've talked about before, maybe the company just either one doesn't believe that he's relatable enough to the audience that they can get behind him and put money, that he can draw money. So you do a special, a 24/7 special on him to come back, which makes the fans even want to see him more. Okay, makes no sense. Or second, due to the fact that he has been injured and he has had a track record, I don't say a track record of injuries, but his body type and his look falls under the Daniel Bryan category where you're not sure if he can continue doing this style for a long period of time, especially with the amount of the size of the competitors he has in his division. I completely don't believe in that. I think that's the reason why, but again, it's a shame because a guy as talented as Finn Balor should be the face of Raw right now. We should be talking about him going up against some guy like Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe for the Universal title. He should be in that picture, not off the card. That is a damn shame and a crime, I believe, by the WWE doing that.
Any insult that he's in a program with the Drifter if we get a match? If we get an impromptu match, would you any regrets or any like, oh man, he's taking on the Drifter?
No, and again, I've mentioned this before, I think last week. I'm not trying to insult the drifter Elias Sampson. I just think right now in this situation, if you're going to do it, give me a better storyline then. If you really want Finn Balor to work with him, to elevate him because the WWE looks at Elias Sampson as having a certain type of look or a certain type of appeal that they want to market more, give me a better storyline. The mere fact that he interrupted him during his solo guitar performance, is that the reason why this rivalry is happening? It makes no sense. It's basically what it really feels like, Jeff, and this is the equivalent of what the Raw has been like the last couple of months, maybe 3 months. It's like just filling in holes. It's like, you know, the days of WCW where they don't have a script. They have a script like 15 minutes beforehand.
It's like great balls of fire.
And it keeps getting redrafted, and just it feels that way. It feels like half. It feels like it's done half-assed.
Half-ass, exactly. And we get to Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks.
When you great, great transition.
Women's title matches on the line. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks in 2 weeks has regained, I guess, semi-momentum as she was actually, I don't know who's getting booked worse, her or Bayley, but now she comes back and she contends, number one contender for Alexa Bliss's Raw Women's Championship. I can say this is a toss-up, but if you have to ask me, I think Alexa Bliss walks away, still a champion, and Sasha Banks comes up short. I don't know if maybe Nia Jax helps in fear, leading to Nia Jax and Sasha Banks matchup, but I do think that Alexa Bliss, being the heel that she is, finds a way to walk out at great balls of fire, still the Raw Women's Champion.
Well, the thing with Alexa Bliss, Jeff, is I hate to see her leave, but I love to see her walk away, and I think she will walk away as NXT, as WWE Raw Women's Champion. Just from the mere fact that, you know, despite the fact that Sasha Banks has gotten this momentum like we talked about, I feel like it has been organic. It has been real. I mean, I know she's won this title match, and they were teasing a match between Bayley and Sasha Banks, which we know from NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
I just want to see her be heel.
I think that's the main thing. We want to see her be heel. True to herself.
And I don't like
face,
this.
It's not working. It's not working for me. I don't need any more tears. You know,
oh, my God, the crying.
As heartless as I might sound, I don't need any more tears. I don't need any more crying.
I was done after Brooklyn.
I don't need to be reminded, and this doesn't fall just on Sasha Banks. I don't need to be reminded time and time again that this was your dream since you were a little girl. I mean, and the same thing falls for a guy. If a male wrestler came out and said this was his dream, this is all I want. Okay, I get it. You need to give me something else. It can't always be the same shtick every single time because it does run dry. And it does get boring. It does get complacent. And right now, that's where I feel like the Raw Women's Division is getting. It's getting very complacent. I think Alexa Bliss is a very good champion. I think she will have a long title run. It will continue after Great Balls of Fire. But I feel like somebody like Alexa Bliss, her momentum is kind of dying down a little bit with the type of competition she has right now. Who else is there after Sasha Banks? Are we going to see
Nia Jax?
Are we going to see a few with Bayley? We're going to see Nia Jax. All right, Nia Jax, who
busted her ass the last few weeks.
Exactly. But again, what's the payoff there? It's David versus Goliath. I get it. But then you have Nia Jax as champion. So what, now she's going to be a babyface?
You could see between two heels. But listen, man, again, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, we think Alexa Bliss is going to come out, and now we move on to a matchup where, you know, we put a lot of importance in title matches. Here's a matchup that should be important, but to me really doesn't come out as being important, just being a match where they got put together, and that's Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. I'm going to go here. Listen, why would I ever pick Bray Wyatt to win a match?
No, I don't.
And maybe this match, he maybe does come out on top, but why would I pick Bray Wyatt to win this matchup? Maybe just want to go against the current, but Seth Rollins. I mean, Seth Rollins, the face of 2K18, he's probably going to get a title shot maybe in the next coming weeks or so. Why would I freaking put money on Bray Wyatt? And the reason is I wouldn't. So why even pick it here when you know Seth Rollins is going
to
win?
Yeah, and why waste my time now to even think it's believable that Bray Wyatt could win this match? And again, WWE has surprised us before. If it happens, hey, I wouldn't be surprised either, but the track record that Bray Wyatt has had in big main event situations
and booking
has not been good. You would be an idiot to bet against Rollins right now. I see Rollins coming out as the victor.
So we got Seth Rollins there coming out on top of a Bray Wyatt. Now a 30-minute Iron Man tag team match for the tag team titles, for the Raw tag team titles. It's going to be Sheamus and Cesaro against the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Here's the question. Separate tune. It looks like Matt Hardy is going to maybe get the gimmick broken.
Hopefully.
Sooner than later. But then you see that it's nowhere near close. Jeff Jarrett's being a stickler, and you don't know what's going on. Now you see regular Matt Hardy talking, and you don't know where this is going. 30-minute matchup, I think it's good. I think it kind of having a 30-minute match is going to not see us see Finn Balor against the Drifter because it's going to take 30 minutes here. And I think, though, that what's going to happen is that Sheamus and Cesaro are going to be pushed even more as the tag team champions, as a veteran tag team should do. And you're going to see, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro walk away holding on to their tag team titles.
Speaking of veteran tag team, though, I think what you bring an interesting dynamic.
I just don't want them to fall in the category of the Dudley Boys, though, because this is kind of the same thing where the Dudley Boys, we're just making the younger guys look good. I don't want it to get to that point.
Yeah, but I think the nostalgia factor is wearing out very, very fast now. I think I'm kind of over it basically myself with the Hardy Boys. You know, a normal Matt Hardy is not, you know, I'm sorry for saying this, but he's not interesting to me. What made him very interesting, what made the appearance with the Hardy Boys, I can't believe you're saying Hardy Boys, they should be Hardy Men. At WrestleMania is the fact that, yes, we're going to get the broken Matt Hardy. We're going to get the brother Nero. And I think it's more of just a waiting game, but that waiting game, I think, is doing detriment of Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy's momentum here. Nostalgia wears out very fast. I'm happy for Sheamus and Cesaro. I think despite that, these two teams have done really well together, have great chemistry, have given us some really interesting matches. I mean, last time they were in a steel cage together. So I don't foresee this to be anything more than just another great match, but I see Sheamus and Cesaro retaining the titles, and then it just begs the question, what else do you do with the Hardy Boys right now? Because your biggest moneymaker
is
Matt Hardy.
It seems like they're waiting on this so that they can split them up, because everyone sees the money in Jeff going on to separate feuds, as well as Matt and maybe a Bray Wyatt feud. So it's kind of like right now in limbo to see what exactly happens.
That happens, who goes over, Bray Wyatt or Broken Matt Hardy? Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Exactly.
The Miz and Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. Listen, Brian, you can maybe spend 40 sentences on this, but
Miz
honestly,
walks out the champion.
Yeah, Miz walks out champion. That's it. Why would you give it to Dean Ambrose?
Not
why
give the storyline.
Continue this feud back and forth? Poor IC title. The real loser in this is the IC title because this feud has been drawn out. We didn't need to see it after we saw it on SmackDown and carried over to Raw, and this has just gone way too long. When you have Bears being a focal point, when you have LeVar Ball being a focal point, when you have Bo Dallas and you know, Curtis Axel being a focal point, then you know what? You might as well just we take the script, just throw it up in the air because it doesn't matter. So The Miz is going to walk away as and retain his IC title. Then we have Enzo and Big Cass. Your thoughts on that one? I think it's been done well. You saw the fire in Enzo this past Monday night. I think he's fired up. But at the end of the day, again, Enzo's the guy. Cass is the guy they're going to go with. And you know, this should be a short match. It should be a squash. You're going to see Enzo have the heart, but just at the end of the day, you know, Cass is the moneymaker, and how could you not have Cass come out on top?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I have Cass coming out on top to defeat Enzo Moore, but I want to bring up a question for you, Jeff. I saw Enzo's promo. I saw what he said, and, you know, I'll take nothing ever away from Enzo Moore and how he speaks on the microphone and how he's quick on his feet. He basically doesn't have a script. He says everything off the top of his head, and he does it very well. I'll never take away his talent from there. But where do you get off saying the fact that Enzo thinks, or he believes, that Big Cass is a catchphrase that he created? Okay, so if he's a catchphrase that you created, Enzo, what does that say about you then in your talent that this catchphrase that you created surpassed you by leaps and bounds? You know, Liv Morgan, who all knows going out with Enzo Moore, wants to write preach. Well, how about listen to your own BS, Enzo, because as much as you want to hype yourself up and say you're all these things and address the fact that a lot of people that don't like you, yeah, well, these are the same people that don't like you that can control what you do and what you don't do. They gave you this platform, Enzo, to talk. They gave you that microphone to be able to spew out your lyrics and your, you know, whatever you want to say. But at the same time, he wants to discredit Big Cass, says he's not where the money is. Take a long look in the mirror, Enzo. Yes, kids are buying your merchandise. They're buying your, you know, legit or whatever they call it, legit G or certified G t-shirts in your hair. But when you're comparing these two, seriously, the mere fact that Enzo's going out and thinking that he created Cass and it's because of him, which Cass has the success, yeah, maybe there's some truth to that. But, you know, at the same time, don't take anything away from Cass because you know why? When you were gone and you got injured, which seems to be a very common thing with Enzo, unfortunately, and, you know, I'm not here sticking it to Enzo. That just happens.
Sounds like you are. Sounds like you got a little beef with Enzo. Sounds like you're shooting a promo on Enzo.
Not at all. Why am I shooting? He's got his own problems with Conor McGregor right now. Well, I'm not even in the category of an Enzo Mori, but what does it say, Enzo, when a guy like Big Cass
I think
is the top guy right I think now, and is where the money is.
You need
is.
To pump yourself up. I think that's what he's doing. He needs to pump himself up. He needs to go in there with momentum. He needs to go in there believing that he can beat Big Cass. So I think that's where he's talking about. You need, even if you need to lie to yourself, you need to build up that momentum. You need to build up that steam.
Well, he's doing a great matchup. Job. He's doing a great job doing it because right now what I'm feeling
but
is
I
the
still,
insecurities.
But I still believe. Yes. But you feel insecurities in a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah exactly. I'm looking at one right now.
Brian sensed it right now. And I know I left myself open for that.
Exactly.
But
you set up. I just spike it, Jeff.
He just spikes it, man. But
drop the mic.
I think that's what it is, though. I think that's what it is, Enzo. And I still see him have some use in, like, 205 Live. And I do think he is the best.
Yeah.
And I do think
Definitely.
He is the best matchup for Conor McGregor if he decides to ever entertain coming to the WWE. Because I think those verbal exchanges would be really good. So, but you got to go with Big Cass in this one.
You have to right now because I think the way they're trying to build it up is, like you said, there'll be the transition where he will go to 205 Live, being the cruiserweight division where I think he belongs and can be successful in and will have a great rivalry, I think, with a guy like Neville. When it comes to Big Cass, I just think right now the success he had short term when Enzo was injured to go in and be a main event guy, and we know that WWE loves these gigantic guys. He basically looks like a Kevin Nash in a way. I think the sky's the limit for a guy like Big Cass right now. I think he's proven it before short-term wise, and I think right now, depending on where you pit him against and how you book him.
I can't get a yes or no out of you. I get a whole spiel.
I gave you the answer. If
I know,
man.
Take
the cotton out of your ears for a second
the
there.
The cotton in my ears. WWE Cruiserweight title match. Neville and Tozawa. Kira Tozawa. It's going to open up the show.
Kickoff show.
Yeah. Kickoff show. Listen. I love Tozawa. I think I like the look when he's in the tux. He's in the Titus Worldwide brand. I don't get it. I don't want to get it.
How can we be part of that brand?
I don't know.
Be part of that
I don't
brand.
Know. We might do a good job there, actually, for Titus. But honestly, you're gonna come up with Aries. Austin Aries couldn't get the job done, and I'm going to believe that Akira Tozawa can get the job done. I haven't seen enough of Tozawa. I like the look. I like him coming out the way he's doing. I like the different getup. But Neville's just on a different level right now compared to all the other guys on 205 Live. I think Neville walks away holding on to his precious Cruiserweight Championship.
I thought you were going to do an English accent there. He will remain the king of the Cruiserweights, Jeff.
Oh, that's a great.
Austin Aries couldn't do it, so not even Tozawa himself and the Titus brand will able to defeat the king. They will all kneel before Neville. But honestly, I think that's going to happen. I think he's done such a great job, Neville, of being the face of the Cruiserweight division. I don't really see Neville losing this one. But the thing is, I don't really see anybody else right now to be able to legitimately accept it, despite an Austin Aries, who was a legitimate threat. I don't really see anybody else in this Cruiserweight division right now that can really compete against a guy like Neville.
Yeah, so great balls.
Maybe Enzo.
Great Balls of Fire is upon us, so we have given you our preview and our predictions. A little bit on SmackDown. Listen, John Cena comes back, the free agent. Still really didn't define it, but we find out that he will take on Rusev at Battleground in a flag match. All I got to say is that, wake me up for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Ellsworth gets suspended and fined for 30 days, $10,000 fine. Poor Ellsworthless. Where's he going to come up with that money? So we find that out, too. And then AJ Styles is set to take on Kevin Owens at Battleground for the U.S. title. So we have two Canadians now becoming U.S. champions. How crazy is that? But anything kind of like piqued your interest for SmackDown this past week?
Just found it interesting that a guy like John Cena, who's a free agent, can actually be booked on a show, which he's a free agent for. So it's not really assigned to SmackDown, which they never explained that to me.
Bringing back Rusev like that. Yeah,
that's
a great way to build momentum now.
Like, we never seen that before, basically, right?
Do you really think that Rusev is going to reach up on his flag and wave that in front of John Cena? I don't think so.
Yeah. And the only excitement I get out of this really is that AJ Styles and Kevin Owens will continue their rivalry for the U.S. title, hopefully bringing some prestige back. And, I'll give credit where credit is due. I think John Cena did a great job with the Open Challenge. I think Kevin Owens obviously is mocking it in a funny way, which is also entertaining. But I think when you have a rivalry pitted against two very talented individuals like an AJ Styles and a Kevin Owens, and you get magic in the ring with these two, I think it only helps elevate the title. And I think right now AJ Styles falls into that category as well as Kevin Owens, has been really lost in the shuffle. So right now, the United States title is, to me, just as important as the WWE Championship, because right now we could, you know, speculate what's going to happen between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. But right now, I just honestly don't care enough about this rivalry.
I'm more invested in AJ Styles and Kevin Owens.
Hey, I gave it a shot. I wasn't hindering on Jinder, and I'm still not hindering on Jinder. But right now, it's not working for me. It's not making a whole lot of sense. And I'm more invested into something like this, which just speaks volumes with the talent, like I said, of AJ and Kevin Owens. So I hope this goes well. And I would like to see United States title in the future of AJ Styles. I can see this going back and forth and titles being exchanged.
And kudos to Kevin Owens, the face of America, because his new DVD that is out already, came out July 4th, is just flying off the racks. And it is, I saw some of the previews on First Look on the network, and I think it's a great DVD, obviously, because it's sold out everywhere. And Kevin Owens just, again, is maybe like that underdog that you don't think is going to happen, but another inspirational story in the career of Kevin Owens. So kudos to Kevin Owens. And then I guess Alberto Del Rio, or El Patron, wins the Global Force Championship, beating Bobby Lashley, and of course had to take his shots at WWE. Like the song says, let it go. Let it go. We know how you feel about the place. Let it go.
Yeah, and according to Alberto, those scars run very, very deep. But at the same time, I could be willing to say, hey, nobody forced you to sign that contract coming back here. You never had to come back. So if you're complaining now, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And at the end of the day, he ended up getting himself somebody in the long run in terms of Paige, who was watching the event. I guess they're back together again.
Yes. The current Alberto Patron and Paige watch, they are still together. They have not broken up. So we don't know what happens after we leave the show. They might break up again. But as of now, as of talking right now, they are together for all of those of you that care.
Yeah, and nor do I care. I don't care at all. But again, you know, they're merging the two titles together. So now you have the Impact Heavyweight title and the Global Force Heavyweight title. Now it will be Global Force, as Jeff Jarrett is making this merger happen and going to see it all the way through. So congratulations to Alberto El Patron. To see where he goes with this, I don't know. We'll see what happens in the near future with that, but pretty exciting. But again, some other news we had to give Jeff, which isn't probably as exciting, but also very important, I feel, because she has been an integral part with WWE. We've seen her a lot involved in WWE. Maria Menounos, who is recovering from surgery to remove a brain tumor in her head, where it was really affecting her performance in terms of being able to read off the teleprompter, just doing her work and just the quality of life. So now she's had that. She's recovering. Jeff and I here at the High Spot Podcast, I'm sure the WWE and all her fans are wishing her the absolute best. But again,
I had to step away from E, and also is helping her mom, who has cancer too, in her battle with cancer. So yes, it's definitely a tough time, but our thoughts and prayers go out to Maria Menounos from the WWE family.
For a speedy recovery.
Speedy recovery and hope. Nothing but the best for her. So, again, you know, it just shows you life is very precious, my friend. And next week, man, we will be previewing the G1 Climax Tournament, because, you know, as soon as the G1 Special is over, we're previewing the G1 Climax Tournament. So New Japan is, who would have thought, man, a year ago when we started this, New Japan Pro Wrestling would be a heavy topic that we would talk about. And of course, Kenny Omega just continues to impress, and we will see what his outlook is for that tournament. We'll also recap a little bit of the sights and scenes from the G1 Special in Long Beach, too. Of course, you can catch the second part of the Long Beach on Access TV this Friday. So, you know, for all you guys that are waiting for that, that's going to be really interesting, too.
And gals.
And of course, we will recap Great Balls of Fire, Bri, but man, we got to put a ribbon on this one, man. This is really an outstanding episode. Next week, it'll just keep getting better and better and better. But I think, I think if we went any longer, it'd be a detriment to this great show.
It definitely will. But again, the emphasis I want to make, too, is with everything Jeff just discussed, it's just a great time to be a wrestling fan, because there is so much out there to look at. The way social media is nowadays and so much content out there to look at, it's just, you know, you can't have enough. And apparently, there are not enough hours in the day for Jeff and I to discuss it. We dedicate an hour for you guys, and we enjoy and we love the support you guys have for us here on the High Spot Podcast. Please make sure you follow us on Twitter and all social media platforms out there at High Spot Podcast.
I just wanted to say that kudos to our boy Mike Johnson from PW Insider, who actually compared Brian Pillman and Kenny Omega. There are differences there, but, you know, we've always said to each other, hey, Kenny Omega kind of has got a little bit of Brian Pillman in him.
Yes.
Although that character is something that can't be duplicated, I think that...
Often replicated.
I think, and not well, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think Kenny Omega does, you do see some Brian Pillman in him. Not the full loose cannon, but you do see some touches of Brian Pillman. But again, it is Kenny Omega's world, and we're all living in it right now, basically, because we will continue to watch Being the Elite. We will continue to be excited at anything that he does. Of course, he's been given props from everybody. Stone Cold Steve Austin just told him that, you know what, that this guy, if he comes to WWE, he'd be money. So, you know, obviously they don't need the WWE, so that's a great point. But we got so much action, man. Wrestling is getting just hot and heavy, and we're like in the center of it. And next week we have a great show, and we're getting to the road for SummerSlam and TakeOver. So this summer is just going, it's flying by. Glad you guys had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. Again, we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin, and this is the trendsetter Brian Berger. You can follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. All social media platforms, the Facebook page, Snapchat, Instagram. You can also listen to our show about NXT on NXT Weekly as part of the Fans Podcast. Follow them on Twitter at the Fans Podcast. And now I need a cup of water. But you know what, man? After this, next week's show is just going to be better, bigger, and just too sweet. Can I get that water now, please? Yeah.